Processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
We're going abroad for the first time in years, to Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
When you're ready to power up your next adventure, the Nissan Pathfinder Rock Creek has a 3.5-liter V6 engine, 295 horsepower, and 270 pound-foot of torque to get you there. From rocky trails and muddy paths to sandy dunes and snowy roads, wherever you're going, find your path in the Nissan Pathfinder Rock Creek. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israel says Hezbollah crossed the line after it launched a strike on Beirut. Israel says it targeted the mastermind of the weekend attack in the Golan Heights. It left 12 children and teenagers dead. Former CIA senior operations officer and ABC News contributor Daryl Blocker says
this is probably a two-pronged message to send to Hezbollah and the IRI, the Islamic Republic of Iran, that we know who you are. We know where you are, and that we can strike you if we need to, if we choose to do so.
The acting head of the Secret Service testified to senators about his shame over the security shortcomings that led up to the assassination attempt on former President Trump. Park wildfire in Northern California still growing as firefighters get more containment. It's now the fifth largest in state history. And gold for the U.S. women's gymnastics team in Paris. Simone Biles clinched gold for the USA. This is ABC News. New details about the incident on board a United Airlines flight involving Pro Football Hall of Famer Terrell Davis.
Terrell Davis said he felt humiliated earlier this month when the FBI arrested him because a flight attendant made what he said was a false claim that he had hit that flight attendant, telling ABC News.
I want United to be held accountable.
Davis and his attorneys now claim United has failed to apologize and that he's unfairly on United's no-fly list. United Airlines says Davis was told the day after the incident he was not on the no-fly list and that the airline has apologized. Also, the flight attendant involved was fired. Alex Stone, ABC News.
After months of negotiations, workers at Disneyland voting to ratify new contracts. The unions representing about 14,000 workers say the move will bump minimum base salary to $24 an hour. Disney is the parent company of ABC News. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story.
Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Again Fling's. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
The smarter way to clean your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop. The all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder. Mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Democratic Governor Tony Evers is asking voters to vote no on a pair of Republican-authored constitutional amendments that would take away the governor's power to spend federal money.
The goal of these amendments are plain and simple. Republicans in the legislature want to take more power for themselves and erode the balances that exist at this time.
Republican-authored bills seeking similar changes have passed the Republican-controlled state Senate and Assembly, but they've been vetoed by Evers. Both are on the ballot in the August 13th primary election. Milwaukee police are investigating the weekend death of a woman struck by two vehicles, one of them a police car. It happened early Saturday morning on the city's west side. The 57-year-old woman was first struck by an SUV that left the scene. Her body was still in the roadway when it was then struck by the squad car, with two officers responding to a hostage situation. Police haven't revealed how long the victim was in the roadway, nor why the officers couldn't spot her in time. Both officers have been put on administrative leave while the Wisconsin State Patrol joins Milwaukee police in investigating the incident. Five people are accused of helping a wanted man hide from police last week, leading to a standoff in Amherst.
Officers say Edward Deo, Chrissy Miller, Brody Volker, Thomas DiCarlo, and Brandon Lauks are all accused of harboring or aiding a felon for helping Jeffrey Miller hide out while he was wanted for attempted homicide charges. Miller allegedly fired at officers during a traffic stop in Sauk County last week. The incident led to a day-long standoff with officers from multiple counties, which ended when Miller was found dead Friday evening. All five people will be in court this week. Further details into Miller's death will be released when the DOJ investigation into the incident wraps up. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
We could see a few scattered thunderstorms late this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, right on through tomorrow night into Thursday. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy, warm and muggy. 87 today with a heat index near 90. Tomorrow's high 88 with a heat index of 97. If you're looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play, it is easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. Check out Worthington. It's worth a look. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 84.
It was another really tough day in the grain markets. The soy complex led the way to the downside, with August beans busting to a new low. The cattle complex was higher, cotton traded higher, and lean hog futures can't seem to build any upside momentum.
Live with Momentous Momentum via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk. Directly following the news, Brian Split from AgMarket.net. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much, and welcome all to AgriTalk. Boy, I tell you what, keep an eye on the weather out there, Davis. Have you been watching it? Still storms. Central Kentucky is covered up with severe storms. They stretch down into northeast Tennessee. You've got a few storms in northern Missouri right now. And just east of Des Moines, it has just been like the storms are training right there around the Newton area. And it is really, really, they're getting some rainfall totals down there. No question about it. And we're not done for the day. We're not done. There's no question. We've got another stripe, or I should say another front that we need to watch for that's going to make its way across the Midwest. How's things going, buddy? You good?
Yeah, I think I'm okay. I will be honest. You put a gun to my head. I might be hoping for some slightly heavy showers, maybe even a gully washer here. Okay. It's so hot, okay? And I'm just back from vacation. So you can imagine the condition of my lawn right now.
No, I can't, because mine's beautiful. Out there.
I would much rather sit and watch it rain and think, man, I wish I could have mowed the lawn today than actually mowing the lawn. You know what I mean? That's where I'm at.
I got you. Well, we are 87 degrees in northeast Iowa. It's hot out there. There's no question about it. The hottest day of the week sounds like it's coming tomorrow. You might be better off getting out there today and getting it done. I don't know. A thought?
Maybe it'll rain tomorrow, too.
Maybe it will. Maybe it will. We've got a great show coming your way. A lot is on the list of things that I want to talk with Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk about. And we've got Brian Split coming up right after the news with some chart perspective on corn. All right, let's get to it. What do you got, buddy?
Well, Chip, wheat futures were lower today, but did close above session lows. December soft red winter wheat futures posted a slightly lower open and traded down to within 2 cents of yesterday's low before recovering to complete an inside trading day. The spring wheat harvest is just getting started, and conditions are deteriorating a bit. 74% of that crop is rated good to excellent, down 3 points from the previous week. Selling in wheat futures was limited by uncertainty over crop potential in the Canadian prairies. December HRW wheat futures were 3 cents lower, 566 and a quarter. December SRW wheat down 6 and a quarter to 549. September spring wheat closed at 584 and one half. That's down 7 cents on the day. Chip, the way it was acting at mid-morning, it almost looked like it could have made it all the way up to unchanged by the close of the session, but not so much.
Yeah, and the momentum just ran out. That's the way that the market has been trading, and it happened again today. Now, the spring wheat crop is deteriorating some, but it's still at 74% good to excellent. It's in really good shape.
Yep. Well, Chip, December corn futures opened slightly lower and stopped short of a full test of resistance at yesterday's high before being dragged down by sharp losses in the soy complex. The low-range close in corn sets the stage for a test of support at 403. USDA says 68% of the U.S. corn crop is rated good to excellent. That's up 1 point from the previous week. Corn rated poor to very poor was at 9%. That's down 1 point from last week. Dry areas in the southern corn belt will see some rain in the next 10 days, but not likely enough to reverse the drying trend. Traders are also watching for a drying trend in the western corn belt, but many anticipate a trend line plus national average corn yield. September corn futures 7 1/2 cents lower on the day, 388 3/4. December corn down 7 1/4 to 405. March corn futures closed at 420 1/4, down 6 3/4 cents.
Yeah, that's been an interesting conversation point with the guest analysts on here today, and we're going to continue it with Garrett. Just what does the corn market and the soybean market have baked in for the supply side?
Well, Chip, USDA says 67% of the U.S. bean crop is in good to excellent condition. That's down a point on the week. Beans rated poor to very poor at 8% is unchanged from the previous week. Traders also see little risk to the national average soybean yield and are factoring in a trend line plus bean yield. November soybean futures followed yesterday's downside price gap with follow-through selling, but stopped short of a full test of support at yesterday's low. The inside trading day with a high range open and a low range close points to additional consolidation around the 10.25 level. September beans, 19 cents lower at 10.11. Novi beans, down 18 1/4 to 10.21 1/4. Jan beans, 10.38 at the close, down 17 cents, Chip.
Yeah, August soybeans that are getting into the delivery period now down 27 1/2 cents today, but still at 10.27 1/4 on the close at a premium to the September contract.
Well, Chip, December cotton today was 34 points higher, 69.55. On your livestocks, boxed beef prices were higher again this morning with heavyweight choice graded boxed beef up 91 cents in morning trade. Movement slowed to just 54 loads this morning, but that was good enough to help support live cattle futures. August futures posted an inside trading day. August live cattle today up 72.5, 187.70. August feeders 55 cents higher, 256.97.5. And the CME lean hog index now just more than a buck higher than August lean hog futures. August hogs today 25 cents lower, 91.20. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Brian Split, agmarket.net. Hey, Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great, Chip. What's happening?
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm a little concerned about this corn market knocking on the door of support, but how do you see it?
Yeah, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about 394.5 being a really key number, and that was the low that was made on a front month basis back on the March contract. And so those were February lows. We had some weekly closes below that number already. Unless we have a big save tomorrow and we have a decent update, it looks like we'll have a monthly close below that. And that was one of the conditions in 2014 that led to additional selling, into the back end of the quarter. The problem with soybeans is multiple problems. Number one, and this was a conversation we've talked about for years, just the idea of $11 being a major pivot point. Mm-hmm. And when you get above 11, you tend to spend some period of time, at much higher prices, 14, 15, 16. But when you transition below 11, then historically that leads to a move to the upper eights to lower nines. And so the analog year of 2014 that we're all talking about, we had a fall low of 904, and that really doesn't seem very far away now. That's only about $1.15. We can accomplish that very quickly given the right circumstances. So, this is a little bit of a concern here. I do think the beans are probably a little oversold and we're due for a bounce, but I think the producer has to be very mindful of where resistance is. The funds did a very nice job of covering some shorts last week. Very delicately, they took it up to resistance, but didn't push it through resistance. And then once they stop buying, the market kind of just falls on its own weight again. So I think we'll continue to see, fits and spurts of those short covering rallies. But as long as they don't push it through resistance where then everybody else wants to buy it too, I think we're going to continue to have this lower trend.
Gotcha. 2 weeks ago when we talked, Brian, you were negative then, and it sounds like you're still looking for lower prices now. So heads up. Be watching out for the downside risk there. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Brian Split, agmarket.net. Garrett Toy with Ag Trader Talk is next right here on AgriTalk.
Another great harvest thanks to Pioneer Brand Corn.
Just a few questions.
Who are you?
Kim Kernel, Ag Sports News. I've been chasing your combine for a while. How does it feel getting 10 more bushels per acre over last season?
It feels great. Couldn't have done it without Pioneer. It's America's number one corn brand.
And there you have it, folks, live from the field.
Who are you talking to?
Pioneer, your best year starts here. Learn more at pioneer.com/best yet.
Spring floods, fall floods,
there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't miss Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, held August 13th through the 15th, hosted in Chippewa County at Close Farms and the Country Fest Grounds. This popular annual event showcases the latest advancements in farming technology. Farm Tech Days offers hands-on experiences, educational opportunities, and access to cutting-edge equipment and solutions in the farm industry. We hope you can join us for 3 days of exhibits, family fun, and food trucks, August 13th through the 15th. Advance tickets can be purchased at wifarmtechdays.com.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to Agri Talk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We've got guest analyst Garrett Toy ready to go. Garrett, how are you, buddy?
Hey, great. Chip, how are you?
Doing real fine, real fine. Garrett is with Ag Trader Talk, and it's been too long since we've had you on here, man. Just not a good start to the week for soybeans yesterday or today, and it's like the market on Friday just kind of flipped a switch, and the selling has been more intense since Friday's open. What happened?
It's difficult to try to pin it on one thing. There's multiple, in my opinion, I think there's multiple things you could point your finger to. The Brazilian real, which was kind of, I think that strengthening of that real that we saw, that was responsible for the rally that we had back up to, recent highs, and that suddenly flipped here, a week to 10 days ago. And now this real is back towards, its recent lows. It came back and on the 26th here traded to 5.67. The July highs were 5.570. So the middle part of July, the real had firmed into 5.42, and that had caused, Brazilian FOB offers to firm up, and we started to see some business out of the U.S. Okay. And that kind of spurred things. So that weakness here, I think, has allowed you start seeing volumes or 10 to 15 cents declines in FOB values out of Brazil late last week, and that kind of foreshadowed, I think, some of this weakness in beans. Throw that into an active weather pattern. We're looking at August days here at the end of the week and rainfall out there. And you've got a lackluster Chinese demand, not just off the U.S., which is well advertised. In fact, if you look at unknown sales, our sales aren't that different than last year, but obviously the Chinese sales are underperforming. Yeah. And I think that's, they're suffering from poor crush margins and their meal stocks are high. It's just a function of their economics. I don't know if there's some sort of, dire plan out here trying to influence elections sort of thing, but I know from an economic standpoint, things aren't rosy there.
Yeah. Okay. Garrett, it's the end of July. I feel like the last thing that we should be looking at is the U.S. compared to Brazil bean price. We should be looking at weather here in the U.S., and the U.S. should be basically the only game in town when it comes to bean supplies into the export market. And it's not the case. We've got to still worry about those supplies out of Brazil, don't we?
We do. I mean, I think that, there's signs out of Brazil that their disappearance is slowing. In fact, Brazil export, their total disappearance in March, May timeframes out of Brazil were 55 million metric ton, which is 3 million metric ton less than what they were this point last year, even though the crop was that much bigger. So I think that the currency gyrations, some of it is obviously Chinese offtakes, and I think the Brazilian farmer has maybe turned into a little bit more of a hoarder. They're not as reliable of a seller as they have been in the past, has extended that sort of thing. So the other aspect of it is, and I don't necessarily know if this is negative or not, but I think that what the world carries in the soybean market, that's encouraged China to, even though they do have their own crush margins and economic problems, I think that the carries in the cash market has encouraged the Chinese to remain hand-to-mouth, and that's exactly what they've done. The fact that there's available South American supplies, they're not forward booking U.S. new crop values, and that makes our new crop export book look not great.
Okay, so what does that mean for us going forward? Is it something that we should still be looking forward to, that China's going to eventually have to come to the U.S. for beans or not?
No, I think they will. I mean, in fact, like last week, it really kind of seemed like we had turned that corner,
yeah.
And then all, and with things were starting to get encouraging, and I think I'm not alone in that boat, where I think that's where the market was seeing that too, thinking that, okay, now China's here. And you had Brazilian values, very expensive through basically out through, new crop 2025. So, I think that was the head fake that caught the market, because you know, China, you know, they bought a couple cargoes out of Brazil here this week, and mostly focus on new crop, but you know, they basically just backed completely away.
Okay. So the price performance that we've seen, and knowing what we think we know about Brazilian supplies and the lack of Chinese buying, what does that do to your strategy in soybeans? To me, if you were waiting for a rally before you get too aggressive on 24 crop bean sales, you're going to be waiting for less of a rally now, aren't you?
Right, exactly. I mean, another way to put your question, Chip, is it's essentially August 1st, mm-hmm. and it, obviously this is an 80-20 year as far as seasonalities. What makes us think that the seasonality is going to change now?
Right.
On August 1st. It may change on September 1st. It more likely changes on September 15th or maybe October 1st. But there's nothing really that's going to change this trend right now. And especially the only thing that could potentially change that trend is weather. And I don't see anything in the forecast out here. Maybe that the flash drought, that southwestern corn belt, mm-hmm. may offset that. But you know, Monday's crop progress, even though you know conditions don't really mean a whole lot in my book. But you look at Illinois and Iowa both set their crop year highs for conditions on Monday. But we also had, you know, a lot of states like, you know, Minnesota and North Dakota set their crop year lows. So I think the idea is that, you know, even if we have a problem in the Southwest and it may nip some of that crop, you know, that the Illinois yields are looking good.
Yeah.
The Illinois potential looks good. The Iowa potential looks good.
Yeah. Yep. So what do you think is factored into bean prices for a crop right now?
If you would have asked me a week, 10 days ago, I would have said the market had a much more confidence in a 182, 183 plus type corn yield, but maybe perhaps not on soybeans. But the way this early August forecast seems to be shaping up, it feels like the market is coming around to a 52, 53 type yield. You know, I typically, you know, it's odd because we've, you know, the record yield is 177.3 and 51.7, so we've never had a 52 or, you know, 182, 183 type yield for that case. But I think the market's just, you know, conventional wisdom feels more confident in corn's ability than soybeans' ability, and it just kind of depends on August rainfall. You know, from a farmer standpoint, again, if they're looking for a life preserver here, for lack of a better term, you know, when we come into the USDA reports in August, I mean, I think the most potential for a bullish surprise is probably going to come from acres, you know, once we incorporate these FSA acres.
Okay, we'll talk about that just a little bit more, but I got to bring this up. Everybody that I talk to on their beans right now, it up until about the last week, all people wanted to talk about was corn. It either looked really good or we had too many problems early this season.
Yep.
But just in the last week, guys have started to want to talk about their soybean crop and thinking, yeah, you know what? This thing looks pretty good out there. I think they're getting into some pod set and seeing just what this bean crop is capable of. Are you hearing good things?
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to come around. And in fact, even just backdoor itis here, I mean, there's a lot more better looking bean fields than there are corn fields. You know, you know, like you mentioned, the sins of our spring, you know, around here, Northwest Illinois, we essentially had a week to get the crop in. you know, it was wet. Everybody hit it that week. So all the corn around here was planted essentially in a 1 week period. And that corn that was planted during that 1 week period looks very good. But, you know, the heavier soils where water retention is a problem, it's short, it's uneven. You know, there's still some stuff that, believe it or not, you know, hasn't tasseled yet. You know, it looks rough, you know, but beans uniformly, yeah, you're right. They look pretty good around here, and that seems to be the consensus around the customer base.
Yeah, they straightened up and filled the canopy, and all of a sudden it was like, holy smokes, we've got a bean crop out here.
Yep.
So, yeah, it really looks pretty good. So weather might be able to scare us, but I think we're building expectations for this bean crop really high. For the first time in a long time, Garrett, we might be setting up for a worse than expected ride on the combine.
Absolutely. If the bar gets absolutely, I was just going to say, is that, you know, eventually we get to the point where we set the bar so high that it can't be attainable.
Yep. We're going to talk more about that. And I want to talk about acres, Garrett. We'll start off with acres and what to expect there. And then we've got to talk a little bit more about this corn yield potential and just what the market has got factored in. We're talking with Garrett Toy, Ag Trader Talk, here on AgriTalk.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT to learn more. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 3 cents lower at 566 and one quarter. December SRW wheat down 6 1/4 to 549. September corn futures were 7 1/2 cents lower today at 388 and three quarters. December corn down 7 1/4 to 405. September soybean futures were 19 cents lower at 1011. November beans down 18 and one quarter to 1021 and one quarter. December cotton today was 34 points higher at 69.55. On your livestocks, August fat cattle today up 72 and a half to 187.70. August feeders were 55 cents higher at 256.97 and one half. And August lean hog futures today 25 cents lower at 91.20. Get more market news every market day. Just visit tryprofarmer.com.
Having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. At Chippewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy, no more. Go to ChippewaValleyEnergy.com.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
In this season of independence, we salute all those families preparing for the local county fair. To the kids sweating in the barn and all those parents standing ringside, let us help get those animals' diets just right and ready for show day. So grab that blue ribbon and plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
We could see a few scattered thunderstorms late this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, right on through tomorrow night into Thursday. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy, warm and muggy. 87 today with a heat index near 90. Tomorrow's high 88 with a heat index of 97. If you're looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play, it is easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. Check out Worthington. It's worth a look. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 84.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us for a conversation with today's guest analyst, Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk. Garrett, okay, acres. There's more to the supply side of the balance sheet than just yields. We've also got to have the acres. What are the expectations on acres as we get to that August crop production report?
Well, one thing, and you know this as well as anybody, once we get into the Pro Farmer crop tour, you know, it may ultimately net, you know, what I said was that the next negative input could be acres, but at the end of the day, the USDA could cut acres, but yield goes higher. But, you know, I think there's been a lot of confusion all year, perhaps, you know, with the flooding and everything. Well, this is going to yield zero. Well, exactly. Yep. It's going to yield zero. It's going to be hard. It's going to come off of harvested acres. But when you remove harvested acres from the mix, reduce that, ultimately, you know, that could push for a higher yield.
Yep.
At the end of the day, it's just how much does the harvested acres come off to offset yield changes, whether we get a net change in production. So,
right.
You know, that's the $64,000 question. I think the bias is that, and perhaps that's the market rhetoric developing here is that, you know, people want to talk higher yields, because, you know, acres could be reduced, you know, considerably.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. And that's going to be tough for the market to figure out. Because if you've got that higher yield but lower acres and a crop that doesn't change, it should be neutral for the market. But if they see that big yield, Garrett, that'll trigger some selling.
Absolutely. I mean, the market bias. I mean, look at this market this entire year. The funds have not wanted to be long corn. They wanted to be short corn. Every time they get a chance to sell corn, they come in and sell corn. The only problem is that it's just going to compound the frustration of the American producer, perhaps the producer anywhere. But, you know, it's going to be a difficult pill to swallow for a U.S. farmer that's, well, we've had flooding all year, but now they're saying a 184 corn yield and production carryout still 1.8 to 2.1. You know, that's the way this year has gone for a lot of people. You know, it's going to be an extremely tough pill to swallow.
Yep. Yep, no doubt. Okay, so while this bean market's been getting beat up here the past couple of days, and today was hard to take in corn, but it seems like corn has done a better job of absorbing this selling that we've got here at the end of the month. Why? What might be helping it out some?
You know, I think that, you know, U.S. corn is still cheap. I don't know let me take that back. I don't know if U.S. corn is necessarily cheap, but considering the calendar and the crop size that Brazil supposedly has, mm-hmm. the Brazilian corn is expensive,
okay.
You know, you know, that may be helping things. We've had a couple weeks of decent export sales. You know, it sounds perhaps that the South American or the Brazilian export program may be getting a little bit better with some increased selling. Perhaps this last chunk of real weakness, has spurred a little bit more selling versus beans, but, you know, Brazilian corn is unusually expensive here. You know, Argentine corn is a little bit cheaper, but, you know, after next month, you know, we should see, you know, U.S. is in the driver's seat. So, export business is a little bit better here. I don't necessarily know if that translates to flat price, per chance, but, you know, we need to build the book, you know, the export book, mm-hmm. and demand is pretty mm-hmm. decent here. But ultimately, again, like I said, I mean, it's this, the 1st of August. That's, you know, we have to wrap up the end of the marketing year, for 23-24, and we still have to get through harvest lows. So,
mm-hmm.
where the music stops, you know, I don't know where we'll be.
403 is just really important in D's corn, isn't it?
It really is. 403 to 405, that's the Jan 2020. And then if we don't hold that, then the July 2020 supports at like 363. But, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, I mean, if you're looking at a producer here who doesn't have anything on, you know, I've been commenting that, you know, managing a loss is still managing risk. That, you know, reality from a, you know, some key numbers to keep an eye on, 80% SCO crop insurance coverage, Dease corn is 373. You know, that's where the crop insurance max payout is. Nove beans is 993. So, the fund managers know this. Yep. Probably, you know, if they know our cost production, they know where crop insurance levels are. And I think that, you know, those typically are some targets. So, you know, put coverages, to those levels, but, you know, we could overshoot that, max out crop insurance, and then put in a seasonal low at some point. Who knows?
What do you think is ultimately what should farmers be prepared to see in corn and soybeans?
That's a loaded question. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, this market will turn at some point, but, you know, I hate to, you know, it's easier to say that now than it was at, you know, $4.75 or $5.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, but it, I mean, that's the thing you have to, that's the kind of thing I'm telling farmers at this point, because, you know, it's not, you know, even the best producers, nobody's making money at these levels, you know? So, you just kind of, you know, I see a lot of commentary about their farmers hoping for optimism, or, you know, clinging on the optimism for market price. We have to be, this is our livelihood. You know, I mean, you know, we can't be all doom and gloom, but we can also be smart about things as well. So I don't really know. I don't know how to answer that question, Chip. I mean, I think that, what can producers, you know, I would think, you know, logic would tell me that, you know, that the fund position is maxed out. Okay. But that doesn't really matter, because I still think there's a lot of farmer selling to be done between now and the next month. So, the funds are positioned. They're always one step ahead. So they're going to start buying covering positions when the farmer is selling.
Yeah.
And I think if you look at the window here, is that the majority of the selling is probably going to come in the next 30 days of unpriced basis contracts, whatever, clean up bin bottoms, whatever's going to move between now and harvest. But the fact that we probably didn't have very many opportunities to market grain forward contract grain, and outside of people who are maybe cash positions or lacking fall storage, I don't anticipate there's not going to be a lot of farmer selling across the scale at harvest at these levels. The farm, you know, the market's paying you to store things. I mean, Nove July bean spread traded to 53.5 cents today. You know, I mean, it was out to 3 cents, and it's out to near contract lows. These July corn spread is 33 and three quarters, and while we're a good 7 cents off the recent lows, you know, I think if the funds are looking for something to absorb their selling, it's going to be, you know, in the next 30 days rather than the next 60 days, if that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. Good stuff, Garrett. Now, it's not easy to put all of those thoughts and everything into a kind of a closing comment. And I feel like that's what you just did, and did it really nice. So,
well, thank you.
You bet. Yeah. Talk to me about cattle trade. Here we are again. We with the August contract back up to that 187.70. We've got some strength across the board, but I feel like getting optimistic again in the cattle. But I sure, if I had a pen load of them, I sure wouldn't be uncovered at this point.
Well, you know, that's kind of funny. It's you know, if you raise cattle, you know, you're talking to a vet, or you're working cattle, or like, you know, if it's got a bad hoof, it's got a sore mouth, if it's got anything, it's going out the door. So, I mean, we're going to have one of the cleanest cattle herds, what's left out here, than we've ever had. But, you know, cash is $2 higher last week, you know, but, you know, we had that, it seemed like the market anticipated that. We had the big rally into Friday, and then, you know, that doji that we posted on Friday, you know, I don't know why it can't do it. Maybe cash has to do it, and therefore it's a spread trade. But, we just, you know, in theory, you know, the old, you know, Feb March highs should be support now, but it just seems like it's more consolidation. you know, if you look at the money flow, the managed money long in cattle has been flat for the last 4 or 6 weeks. The short has been flat. I mean, it's like they don't know what to do with it either. You know, we're not in a unusual position. I mean, you look at the funds positions over the last 20 years and we're right in the middle of the mix, you know, but you know, overall we're at a key point. The uptrend is still in position off those April lows, but man, you know, we need to do something. You know, and maybe the market's just waiting to see what cash tells. If cash is $2 higher, you know, so be it. You know, and just, you know, then we kind of tippy toe. But you know, I think everybody has been, you know, I've been skittish about the cattle market for a year and a half, expecting a recession, and here we are. You know, it's August 1st, 2024. And I don't envy the next president of the United States, because it, you know, the things I see out here in the country, we're getting there. You know, we're a lot closer to a recession today than we were 18 months ago, even though we thought
we were knocking on the door then.
Exactly. You know, yep. but at some point that, you know, the credit cards, interest rates, I think it's all kind of coming to a hit, you know, and, you know, case in point, you know, selling stuff on Facebook Marketplace. I bought a new trailer, selling the old trailer. I haven't had anybody look at it. Nobody wants, it's just really amazing. Stuff is just sitting.
I'll be darned, buddy. Great job today, Garrett. I love having you on here, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks again. Appreciate it.
You bet. Garrett Toy, Ag Trader Talk. All right. Stay tuned, everybody. Davis and I are going to try to pull some of the highlights from that conversation.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Do you owe back taxes or have unfiled tax returns? The IRS won't quit until they get your money. Here's great news, fresh from those in the know. Major changes have happened at the IRS. If you owe more than $10,000, you may be eligible for a 99% reduction of what you owe. Haven't filed a return for a while? Their happy clients are talking.
The IRS was going to levy my bank account, but Guardian was able to prevent that and fix all my IRS issues. Thanks again, Guardian Tax.
Need relief from crushing tax debt? The IRS now has special programs. Guardian Tax knows all about them. Personal or business, this is the fresh new break you've been hoping for.
We aren't the company you call when you need a hug because you're scared of the IRS. Guardian Tax is the company that wins when you need it most.
Guardian Tax Service is really great to work with. They really helped me out. I'd recommend them highly.
Call now for a free confidential consultation. 800-499-5165. 800-499-5165. 800-499-5165.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FBN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 163-1119.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal Davis Michelson here, back from vacation. Chip Flory's here as well.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Glad
to step away for just a couple of days here.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. We've got a big celebration coming up on Thursday that I'm going to come back for on Thursday morning.
A celebration, you say?
A celebration, yes. Mm. The 30-year anniversary of AgriTalk.
Oh, that's right. We talked about this morning because I think that we should call it AgriTalk's 30th birthday so that we can justify having cake.
Well, and plus, I thought you were going to go down that path so that we could all sing a chorus of my next 30 years.
I don't see why we couldn't.
Well,
in fact, I think we ought.
Can we sing it on any other AgriTalk birthday than the 30th?
In fact, not on any other day.
You're wrong.
In AgriTalk's existence, except for the 30th birthday.
You are so wrong. So wrong.
I'm happy with that. You know, I moved on to Chris LeDoux. I heard this song.
Did you?
Oh, wait a second. There's a $5 fine for whining. Have you ever heard that one?
Yes, I have.
$5 fine, baby. I'm going to learn that one. I'm going to play that at the Soybean Festival. I'm going to do it.
Good deal.
Speaking of traveling about northern-ish, central-ish Missouri, I did take a trip, a driving trip, almost all the way from Kansas City to St. Louis.
Okay.
And just looking at crops from, now this is I-70, okay?
Yeah.
The corn looked really good, dude.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't spent a whole lot of time in the countryside in Missouri just yet. I'm looking forward to a lifetime of that. It looked an awful lot like Iowa corn. Can I say that out loud?
Sure you can.
Tall.
Sure,
nice,
you can.
Deep,
you can
green,
say it. Doesn't
even
mean
tassels.
It's true, but you can say it.
Well, I'll say it. And the beans look good too, but they were short. Short beans.
Okay, short beans. Short
canopy
beans.
Though,
corn.
Nice, sexy, deep green on 95% of both crops that I saw along I-70. Now, what was cool about it, after all of our discussions about, but you don't know what's in the middle, I-70's elevated just a little bit through that area.
You can see that.
So you could see way into there, bro, and they look pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good along the route that my windshield
consistency matters. There is no question about it. And, you know, when I make my drives through northeast Iowa, lots of hills, can see into a lot of side hills.
Yes.
There's still some problems out there that, you know, I guess we would typically say we've gotten the hill country of northeast Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, the beans have really squared up. You can stand at the edge of a bean field and try to guess the yield and be wrong 9 times out of 10. but just, you know, the eye appeal that the crop has got right now, like you said, with the dark green color and everything, it's looking pretty good up here.
Now, I would ask you, there were a couple of cornfields that I saw, nice, tall, everything. You know, mm-hmm. It looked like they were firing a little bit around the base.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think you've gotten dry.
Okay, yeah.
I think things have gotten just a touch dry in Missouri, and that has been the pattern. And you get that combined with some of the lighter soils and some hot temperatures, and it'll fire that plant pretty quick. And it does start from the bottom. It's, you know, it's not like you kill a corn plant in the drought from the top down. It dies from the bottom up.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Pretty good looking crops up my windshield anyway here in Missouri. Would you explain something to me that Garrett Toy kind of mentioned? I'm thinking you probably know what he's talking about. I do not. He mentioned something about 80-20 seasonality.
You know, define that? I was going to send an email because I even made a note. I even made a note to ask him about it, and I kind of ran out of time and moved on to something else.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna have to.
Well, don't let me put you on the spot.
I'm gonna have to check with him. Okay.
Yeah. No, that was.
We'll put him on the spot later.
Yes, that's what we'll do.
That's what we'll do. That's the fun thing.
Yeah. Okay. One thing that I noticed with the conversations about Brian Split and Garrett Toy is they both sort of started sentences early on in their conversation with the word multiple. Split was talking about we got multiple issues going out there in the bean market. Garrett Toy, multiple things pressuring beans. Multiples, multiples, multiples here. Yeah. There's got to be a way to market.
Well, you see, what I was doing was I was looking for that, okay, this is the reason that the switch was flipped in bean prices on Friday. And the sellers just started. You know, I kind of anticipated, well, that's the day that Davis was gone. That's what I expected to hear.
Get a little bit of that.
but the reality is, Garrett's the first one to really talk about this breakdown in the Brazilian real. How all of the sudden, when you've got the Brazilian bean price kind of falling off, U.S. beans, if they're going to stay competitive, have got to follow. So there you go. Maybe it's just as simple as that. And when Brazil still has soybeans, like Garrett said, they've still got beans. It's not a huge amount, but they've still got some beans to market. And with that being the case, it's tough for for the U.S. market to get too hot and moving to the upside. It's just not going to happen. Not going to happen. It's tough to do. All right. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for August 5th through the 9th. The below normal temperatures are starting to make their way in from the north. North Dakota, northern Minnesota, all looking at below normal temperatures. A narrow band of near normal, but we've still got above normal temperatures expected in most of South Dakota, southern Minnesota, southern Wisconsin, southern Michigan, and points to the south of that. So, hot temperatures stick around for a while. Above normal precipitation is also expected across most of the Corn Belt. There's a line about, the midpoint of Missouri, southern Illinois, where we get to a near normal shot of precipitation. In the 8 to 14 day, the below normal temperatures make their way into the northern two-thirds of Iowa. Even northern Illinois looking at below normal temperatures August 7th through the 13th. Got some hot temperatures in the south and above normal precipitation over the entire Corn Belt. Thank you so much for listening. Davis has got it tomorrow morning with the Farmer Forum. Ted Seifert tomorrow afternoon.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer.
That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has an exclusive rate plan just for you. Right now, get two lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings versus Verizon and AT&T. Plus, you can get one of the latest 5G phones free when you add a line. That's right,